You're desecrating, huh? What? Well, you saw it, I know, but I'm just...
In the second half of the second reading of Parshas Chayisora, Avraham Avinu dispatches Eliezer on a very important mission. He is to find an appropriate wife for Yitzchak. And this really will create the next link in the chain and pave the way for the nascent nation of Israel, the development of our people. The Torah says, Torah opens up the third reading, chapter 24, verse 10. The servant, meaning Eliezer, sets out with 10 camels. Migmale Adena from amongst his master's camels, Avraham's camels. Vayelech, and he went. V'chol tuv Adena biyode. All of the goodness of his master was in hand. Vayokom. He got up and he went to Aram Naharayim, the city of Nochar. Many things need to be explained in this verse. Let's take it from the top. It says, he took 10 camels. Okay, he took 10 camels. No, he didn't take 10 camels. He took 10 camels, Migmale Adoinov. He took 10 of Avraham's camels. What were they, Jewish camels? Did they wear a yarmulke? They were circumcised camels? I'm like, what does this mean? There's 10 camels, Migmale Adoinov. Where else would he get camels from? He was a camel thief. Why does the Torah have to tell us where he got the 10 camels from? And what if he would have bought 10 camels? He would take money from Avraham, buy 10 camels? That wouldn't be good. So Rashi says that the reason that the Torah calls these camels Migmale Adoinov, from the camels of his master, is because Nikorim Hoyu Mishaor Gmalim. These camels were different than all the other camels. How so? Shayo Yetzim Zumumin. Because these camels would go out muzzled. And the reason that he muzzled his camels was not to torture Chas V'Shalom the camels, they shouldn't be able to eat, but Mipnei HaGozel. Because Avraham Avinu was very, very careful about his business ethics. And he didn't want to steal from anybody else. So that they would not graze in other people's fields. Now remember, this is after Hashem had promised Avraham Avinu that the land of Israel not only will be for your children, but will be yours. And after Avraham Avinu has already acquired the land, and he has walked the length and breadth of much of it, presumably at this point. And after he's already established Eretz Yisrael by burying Sarah in a particular part of Eretz Yisrael. Yet, Avraham says, it's not my land right now. And since it's in other people's jurisdiction right now, if my camels are to walk, then I have to make sure my camels don't take something that's not theirs. Avraham could easily say, sorry, it's not, what do you want me to do? It's my camel. Camels do what camels do. I didn't tell him to go there. I didn't bring him to your field. You know, camels have these very long necks and they zoom in. Avraham Avinu says, my responsibility is to rein in my animals, and that's the meaning of Migmale Adoinov. Now, why did he take 10 camels? That's a lot of camels. Especially that Eliezer was kind of there himself. Unless you think that it's because he took all of Avraham's residuals and wealth and loaded them onto camels to make like kind of like a camel parade and say, ah, look what my master has. The problem is that after that it says, V'chol tuv Adoinov biyodai. All of Avraham Avinu's wealth was in hand. What does that mean, in hand? How could you have all the wealth in hand? There's no such thing. They didn't have Bitcoin. So he says this is because Shtar Matana Kosov. Avraham Avinu had drawn up formal documents in which he had gifted all of his wealth to Yitzchak. Al Kol HaShalei. Why did he do this? Kedei SheYikpitzu. So that people would be delighted and excited to Lishleich Leibitim, to send their daughter. In other words, in plain English, to make Yitzchak the most eligible bachelor in town. So that's the meaning of in hand. Eliezer would come along and say, I'm looking for a shidduch. And say, for who? For Yitzchak. And this is what Yitzchak goes and says. Everything in hand. He's got the documentation. Yitzchak is the sole heir and the proprietor of everything that Avraham Avinu has. There are other interpretations on the Gemalei Adonai V'Nasai, Gemalim, for example. The Chizkuni says, this is in case they have to make a wedding very quickly. He wants 10 camels to collect a minion. All right. A goyish a minion, because they didn't have a Jewish people yet, but that's what the Chizkuni says. The Rekeach says that there was Rivka. There was her wet nurse, which later became like her nanny, who was like taking care of her. And then she had 7 maidens. Okay, now you need 10 camels. Migmali Adonav. So Ur Chaim says that Avraham Avinu was famous for breeding camels, just like Yaakov became famous for breeding sheep, and he had the strongest camels. So he wanted to bring specimens of robust camels. When you know that Avraham Avinu owns a fleet of I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of camel, so he says, and look what kind of camel. Here's 10 of those camels. You see with yourself what kind of robust camels they are. So then this would be kind of a paradigm, a visual reminder, or kind of a show and tell of how wealthy Avraham actually was. Now, the Torah starts off by saying that he went, Vayelech. And then it says, Vayokom Vayelech. So why does it say twice Vayelech? So the Sefarno says, first, he got permission from Avraham Avinu to go. So, okay, so you want me to go now? Am I ready to go? And Avraham said, go. Let's go. So then he went and prepared the camels. And he went to Avraham Avinu. And then he took silver and gold and brocades and all kinds of other expensive things. And here, he didn't have to ask permission because he already had asked permission. So therefore, at this point was, Vayokom Vayelech. So the first time, Vayikach HaEved, he takes Vayelech, and he goes, he gets permission to go. The second time, when he returns with all of the camels and the wealth, is Vayokom Vayelech, then he actually sets out. And he goes to Aram Naharayim, to Ir Nocher, Aram. What's Aram Naharayim? So Rashi says that Aram is the name of a place, a city called Aram, a province called Aram. Naharayim is plural for Nohar, for rivers. So Aram Naharayim is as if to say the place between the rivers. The Aram Bein Shtei Nohareis Yosheves. Aram was between two rivers. So Aram Naharayim was the city at the rivers, or at the river crossings. All right, let's take this journey with Eliezer. So, Eliezer sets off, and he goes all the way to Ir Nocher. The next thing we hear about is Vayavre Chagmale Michutz Leir. He has these camels kneel outside the city. Outside the city would be typically the source of water. We hear this with Avraham Avinu, at least with Eliezer. And we hear this later on with Yaakov. So there's a large well, but the well is outside the municipal area where the people actually live. And outside that city, El Be'er HaMoyim, it's now Le'es Erev, it's already late afternoon, and it's Tzeis HaShoeves, this is the time when people go out to draw water for the night. There's no running water, you have to have water. So that's where Eliezer situates himself. And he begins to speak. Who does he speak to? He doesn't know anybody. He's talking to God, also known as praying. Vayoymar, but it doesn't say Vayispalol, doesn't say he prays. It says Vayoymar. He says, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, the Lord God, Master of Avraham, Hakrein Olafone Hayoyim, arrange for me today, make it work. Today, so we'll all put it together for me. Vaseh Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. He doesn't ask for Hashem's kindness on his behalf, he says, do kindness with the Master Avraham. Do kindness with the Master Avraham. Of course, Avraham had sent him off on a mission, and Eliezer already said, oh, what if she doesn't want to come? Do I bring your son here? Avraham says, no, none of that. So do I find him another girl from somewhere else? Avraham says, well, first you do your mission. So he's here on a mission, and we learned also that Eliezer had this idea that maybe he had a daughter, and maybe his daughter should marry Avraham as a loyal servant. Loyal servant. He had these ideas. Avraham said, go, you go. And he prays that Hashem should answer his prayers in the merit of Avraham. So he says, arrange this, make it happen in front of me, and do kindness. Hine anoichi nitzav al ein hamoyim. Here I am at the place where the of the water. Uvnois anshayir yetzais lishav moyim. I see the daughters of the city are going out now to get water. Vahoyo hanayro asher imar eleo. So he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, here's the deal. The young maiden that I'm going to say to her, Hati no kadech, please tip your bucket. Ve'eshte, and maybe you let me drink a little. Va'omra, and she'll say to me, Shesei, drink. Ve'gam ligmalecha eshke, and let your camels drink as well. Oysoi chach, that'll be the proof. That'll be the proof. Eliezer's telling God, that'll be the proof. Here's what I want you to do now. He's giving orders to the creator of the heaven and earth. And that'll be the proof, la'avdecha le'yitzchok, that this is the one for your servant for Yitzchok. Uva, Eda, and then I will know, ki asisa chesed imadoni. Then I'll know you're doing kindness with my master, namely Avram. That's what he asked for. He made an order. Placed an order. This is what I want. And many of the mefarshim asked the question, what kind of business is this? Hakre no. Set it up. Make it work. Here's the deal, God. Here's what I want you to do. So Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech, he says that Eliezer's concern was, here he is, a stranger from a faraway land, and he's going to make requests. Please give me your daughter. They'll probably never see the daughter again. Like, how's that going to work? Why would they even listen? So he figured, I need to create a compelling narrative. And if I tell them, I just came, and I prayed, I said to God, show me A, B, and C. And then A, B, and C happened. They'll say, wow. Really? It really happened? Yeah, it happened. They'll be so impressed that they'll send their daughter. So in other words, Eliezer is not really asking for magic per se. This is part of his mission. He needs this narrative that he asked, and exactly what he asked, and exactly what I said. You'd never believe it. And then your daughter came along. And the people would be saying, wow. And they do say it. They said, oh, me'es Hashem. This is from Hashem's hand. It actually happens that way. The Rechaim says that Eliezer had a great fear that he'd come home with a girl, but who says it's really from the family of Avraham Avinu? They take a maidservant, take somebody else, and they just send her off. And how am I going to know? So Eliezer, he can't check the passport. There was no documentation in those days. So Eliezer figures, I better make sure that I have some kind of compelling proof that Hashem should show me this is the one. This is the one you arranged. So why is Oysa Haichacht? Rashi says something very interesting. This is not just a sign per se. It's actually, this will be the proof that it's the right one. Because shetehei gemelas chasadim, I need to see that this is a girl who is prone to kindness, to assisting others. I need to know that I'm bringing a young lady into Avram's house, that she matches the kind of spirit that is found in the house of Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu, of course, was the master of hospitality, kindness. So this is to be the natural thing. I'm going to see if she's kind, see if she's hospitable. I'm going to say, could I have to drink? And if she gives, doesn't say yes, doesn't just respond to my request, but goes beyond that and shows kindness for the animals as well, then I'll know this is the one for the house of Avraham Avinu. Rashi says the language of echacht means berarta. It's as if you had shown me with clarity. You selected in the, like the idea of birur. It's clear. Ova eda. Uva Eda is not a statement, Rashi says, read this as a request. This is a petition. It's a petition before God. In other words, Lashain Tchina. Hoida liba. Make it known to me. Make it known to me. Ki asisa chesed, imtia mi mishpachtai. And if that girl who did all these things is actually from the family of Avram, vehegenesle, and it's appropriate, it matches, it fits, it's suitable, Eda, then I'll know ki asisa chesed, that you have done this kindness. Torah says something unbelievable. Eliezer hasn't even finished speaking. So he hasn't even made the request yet. He hasn't even filed the petition. And already before that, there goes Rivka. She had to set out before. Because as he says these words, Rivka shows up. If Rivka shows up as he says these words, when did she set out? Terem kilo ladaber, before he finished making his petition. Rivka already set out. This is the Rivka Asha Yulda that was born Lubasuel ben Milka, who was Eshes Nacher, the wife of Nacher. And Nacher was Achi Avraham, the brother of Avraham. All right, that's pretty cool. That's basically Nacher's granddaughter. That's Avraham Avinu's great niece. Bechado, and her jug, Al Shichma, is on her shoulder. And the Torah goes on to describe how attractive she was, and how modest she was, and how appropriate she was, and she went and filled with the water. And the servant goes running, and he makes his request, and she responds as if reading the script, exactly what she was supposed to say. And it's unbelievable. So that's the business. Vayhi terem u'kilu l'daber, a remarkable thing. This was an instant message. He sent the text. Before he hit send, already got a response. Like that. So that's kind of unusual. Usually you have to make your request, make your prayer, you know, it goes through processing. You may get answered, but who gets answered before they even make the request? So here, the Rebbe shares with us a very interesting Bileshis Rabba, page Leish Ayin Gimel. Simin Chav Gimel, the 23rd entry in Parshas Chayisar. On the top of the page, we have a quote of a Bereshis Rabba, Shaloisha Haim Nanu B'mayna Piyam. There were three in history who were answered instantaneously. They made the request, and they got the answer. Who were the three? Eliezer Avde Shal Avraham. Eliezer makes the request, and before he's finished speaking, Rivka already shows up. Moshe, Moses, Ushleim, King Solomon. The Bereshis Rabba goes on to say, Eliezer, Vayihu Terem Kilu L'daber. It says clearly, he didn't even finish speaking. Vihine Rivka Yitzas, Rivka's already coming out. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say Terem before, but Vayihi Kechaloi Soi. When he finishes L'daber, it's called Dvarom Eila, he finishes saying to Hashem that this terrible guy Kerdach, and he's leading a mutiny against me, and he's denying my prophecy, and you know this. And the Imbriya Yivra, and if Hashem will now make something new that nobody's ever seen before, then it will be a proof. Everybody will know it's the real deal. So v'kechaloisai, as Moshe finishes, not kilo, not terem kilo, not before he finished, but kechaloisai, as he finished, v'tibaka adama, the earth opens and swallows Kerech and all his people. And the third is Shlomo. By Shlomo HaMelech it says v'yihi kechalois. Once again, not terem. Not before, but kachalos, as he finished, Shlomo, Solomon, l'hispalel, he was davening that the Beis HaMikdash should become a repository for the Shechina, a place, abode where God's presence dwells. And as he finishes speaking, Va'esh yarda min hashamayim, a fire appeared from heaven and consumed the carpet. So we have three people in biblical history that it seems Hashem answered them instantaneously. Incidentally, Eliezer is answered even more instantaneously, the most instantaneously. He is before Terem Kila. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Kechaloi Soi, as he finished. And by Shlomo, it says, Vahi Kechalois. Three people. That's what the Bereshis Rabba says. That's pretty interesting. Eliezer is in good company. Moses and King Solomon. The Rebbe says, please explain this to me. How is it that these three individuals merited that their prayers should be processed so quickly? And he says, Kasha Leimar, it is very difficult to suggest, Shahamaila hu bedargasim ha'ishis shalom espalim. Well, because they were such big tzaddikim, that's why Hashem listened to them. There was definitely tzaddikim as big as Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. He's a very special man, very, very committed, very devoted. We give him all the credit. But there were certainly tzaddikim that were at least as big a tzaddik as Eliezer of Avraham. You're not going to tell me Eliezer is the biggest tzaddik of all time, that only his prayers are answered instantaneously. You're going to say that Eliezer is equal to Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, you want to say Avram is equal to Moshe? Okay, Eliezer is equal to Eliezer ever to Avram? He's not a member of Am Yisrael. I mean, how do you figure that? Shlomo is called Yedid Hashem, the friend of God. Like, how could that be? Therefore, the Rebbe says it cannot be about these individuals. Can't, that makes no sense. It has to be about the prayers. The prayers have to be special. It wasn't these three people, it was these three prayers that were answered instantaneously. B'sholosh tefilas halalo, in these three prayers, there's some kind of common denominator, a nekuda mishutefet, shegarma lekach, which causes shahat tefila te'ana miyad. that the prayer should be answered like that. So the Rebbe explains, what could that be? Hatam lekach. The reason, sheyeshnam tefilos she'einan ne'anes biyad. Why are certain prayers answered immediately and certain prayers, you know, you feel like you're talking to the walls. You ask, you pray, you beg. And it doesn't happen like this. So the Rebbe says, well, it's mitzad ha-merchak. That's as a result of the distance, kav yachol. As if, ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo adam ha-mespalo. There's a distance. Between us and God, there's a distance. Omnam HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein ala tefilo. Indeed, it could be that Hashem responds to somebody's prayer. U'memales ha-bakash ha-mespalo. He fulfills the request you make. Avalat sha-advarim boil me-de-peil. Until things actually happen in this world. Yitochen. It's quite possible that there is a merchak shalzman, a distance of time. Not a distance of space, obviously, but a distance of time. It takes time. And this is neveya. This stems from, or springs from, richukai shel ha'adam me'akadosh baruch hu, a certain distance, proverbial distance. You don't understand it. The Rebbe introduces a Rambam to us that will help clarify for it. So there's a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 7, halacha 7. It says like this. Kama ma'ula ma'ilas ha-tshuva. How wondrous is tshuva? How wondrous is it? What's the paradigm? How wondrous indeed is it? What? How could you demonstrate the wonderful impact of tshuva? Says the Rambam, emesh, but yesterday. Hayamuvdom Hashem alekeisol. This person was separated from the Lord God. Separated from the God of Israel. And what does it mean he's separated from the God of Israel? If we were separate from God, it wouldn't be. God is everywhere. God is creating all of existence. So what does it mean that somebody's separate from God? Practically, give me an example. In what way does the distance express itself? This proverbial, euphemistic distance.
Self-centeredness.
Okay, a person's self-centered, but how do you see that he's far from God?
He's not thinking. God's not within his...
How do you see God's not within his thing? How do you see that?
He's not thinking of God.
I know that he's not thinking of God, but doesn't mean God's not close to him. He may be not close to God. Doesn't mean God's not close to him. If God wouldn't be making him exist, he wouldn't exist.
Right.
So the Rambam gives the following example. Tzoyek ve'ninene. He makes the call. He doesn't answer the call. You're right here. You got the phone. Yeah, make the call. No answer. That's how it was. In other words, our sins, our avedis, they disconnect us from God. Hayoyim. But today, everything changed. You know why? Because he did tshuva. So now he's mudbak b'shechina. Now he cleaves onto the shechina. What does that mean? How do you define cleaving onto shechina? How do you define this closeness? So Rama says very simple. Tzoyek v'nene miyad. He cries, makes the call, and he answers the call right away. You know that famous joke of the person who went to one head of the one faith and another faith and went to call to God. When he got a bill for $500, when he got a bill for $1,000, and he came to Moses, no problem. And in my days, as a kid, the joke was that it was a nickel with a dime. Remember when a coal was a dime? You probably remember when a coal was a nickel.
I was too short to reach the
dime. You're too short to reach them, I see. I remember a quarter. I remember when it went to a quarter, it was like a big deal. Who had quarters? It had a dime. So there's no cell phone. There's cell phones, there's no public phones. Anyway, so the joke was, he came to the rabbi, or to Moses, and tells a joke, and he pops in a dime, and that's it, makes the call. So I understand. I went to this house of worship, this faith, and it cost me a fiver. This was $1,000. And you was a dime? And the rabbi says, from here it's a local call. That's the joke. But that's not such a silly joke. That's the Rambam's paradigm. That's what he says. Tzoyek ve'ninene, crying out, making the call, no response, or you did tshuva, now Hashem's listening. Shekein advarim tluyim zeh bazeh. One is connected to the other. Whether you're close to Hashem or far from Hashem, when you call out, you get answered or not. So kasher ha'adam mudbak b'shechina, when a person is cleaving, connected onto the shechina, hunena, he gets answered right away. Why? There's no merchak, there's no distance. Or it's not a long distance call. But we just said this is not about the individuals. This is about the prayer. So the Rebbe says something very interesting now. Just like you could have this concept of a person for whom the call, his call, he is distant or not distant. So too, you could also have certain calls or certain prayers which are mudbag b'shechina. It's not maybe the caller, but it's the calling that's very close to Hashem. And because the calling is close, because the calling is mudbag, because the calling cleaves onto the Shechina, that's why the calling will elicit an immediate response. It's not who you are, it's what you're asking for. You don't have to be anything.
Well, you can ask.
1 year, I showed up in camp as a counselor, and the geniuses put my own brother in my bunk. It was like, I showed up in camp. They didn't tell me before my bunk is. My brother's in my bunk. It was ridiculous. So I'm afraid of getting, you know, accused of favoritism. For a whole 2 months, I never spoke to my brother. Didn't. I never pulled him aside and speak to him. I don't want the other kids to say. It was a crazy 2 months. So there was one kid in the bunk who was a very portly boy. And every single day, I used to give out the food because the kids were like animals. They would jump on the food, sugar. Every single day, he would come to me at some point in the meal. He would say, my brother says, Baruch, said, could you give him for Baruch? And I don't know what I was supposed to do. Like, he would do it discreetly, quietly. It wasn't in front of everybody. He's asking more for my brother. I don't speak to my brother. I don't give him any special attention. So I would give him extra food. After the summer, I found out. He never gave my brother food. He used to take the food for himself every single day. So I said to my brother, Baruch, I feel so stupid. Why didn't you tell me? He said, you didn't speak to him 2 months. What do you want? This kid exploited that, and every single day is the. So sometimes it's who you ask. If my brother would come to me and ask for food, am I going to give him food? It's my brother. What am I supposed to do? So here, it wasn't the person who's asking, but it was what he was asking for. He's asking my brother, what should I do? How should I say no to him? So here, the Rebbe says, just like you could have a person who's close to God, so the call gets answered quickly, sometimes you could have a calling or a request which is close to God. And he goes through these three requests. We're running out of time, but very briefly. He says, what was the request of Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech was asking for the Shechina to come to Beis HaMikdash. So it's a mudbak for Shechina. It's about Shechina coming down to earth. The request was so critically important that Hashem answered immediately. Immediately. The prayer of Moshe was, what did Korach say? Korach said, he's not a prophet. He makes it up himself. We don't have to listen to him. We can make up our own prophecy. So this is a major foundation of Judaism, that God actually speaks to somebody. Not everybody, but without prophecy, all of Judaism is a moot point. It doesn't begin. But if this is Moses' ideas, I'm not worshiping Moses, I worship God. If it's Moses' ideas, I'm not interested. I'm going to do it. I want to do what Hashem says. So the notion of prophecy is the very foundation of all mitzvahs. And here was the big test. Does God speak to people or not? Is this the word of God or not? Boom, it gets answered. What's Eliezer? So the Rebbe says, in Chassidus it explains, my mother of the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, that the reason that the Torah spent so much time in the narrative of Eliezer finding Rivka for Yitzchak, I mean, you can't exactly call this romance. It goes on and on, Eliezer goes to the story, and then if that's not enough, then you'll sit down, you'll hear the whole story a second time. Have entire portions of the Torah that are alluded to, given to us in like a nuance. And then we have like verses upon verses, repeated twice. So Chassidus, it says, the reason is because the story, the narrative of the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, it creates the foundation, if you will, or the root for the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. This is a paradigm. It's a paradigm between the marriage of God and the Jewish people, the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. That's why there's certain customs at a chuppah, even today, which recall Matan Torah. For example, one of the reasons that we go down to the chuppah with candles is to recall the Eish, the Lapidim, that was there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first gave the Torah. Because marriage is a paradigm of heaven and earth. Marriage is a paradigm of Har Sinai, of God and the Jewish people. And the first Jewish marriage is Yitzchak and Rivka. So this is what paves the way, so to speak, for the Shechina coming down. So when it's a question of Shechina coming down, by Eliezer it was Terem Kilu Ladab. He didn't even finish speaking. Not the caller, but the calling was local. The calling was so close to God, and that's why this is one of those rare instances where he didn't even finish speaking, and already he got a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, my dear friends, gives us an understanding of how important this narrative is, and the story is, and why it becomes such a focal point of Parshas Chayei Sarah.